ethics. Now, that's a word that's been in the news quite a bit over the past year, especially in the aftermath of the election. But what exactly does it mean, and how are ethics apparent in our everyday lives and in the context of contemporary events? Three items have been headlined in newspapers in recent days that have prompted questions about our moral compass: CBS's firings of four staff members, the revelation that a black syndicated columnist accepted money to promote a White House program, and the indictment of six businessmen in the AOL scandal. To discuss these and other ethical concerns, I'm joined now by Rushworth Kidder, the founder of the Institute for Global Ethics in Camden, Maine, and author of a new book titled Moral Courage. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good to be here.
This week, as you know, three producers and an executive with CBS's 60 Minutes were fired for their roles in the airing of a story questioning George Bush's National Guard service. Now, the journalists relied on documents that were later found to have been forged to substantiate their story. The independent panel investigating what went wrong concluded that the correspondents are, quote, ultimately responsible for the production of stories that air. First of all, do you agree with that, or are they scapegoats, as the former producer on the show claims?
No, I don't think they're scapegoats. I think you've got several ethical questions coming on top of each other here. First of all, there's the whole fact-checking. I mean, if you're not going to do that carefully and be honest about it, you shouldn't be in journalism. That, for me, however, that gets settled through just good practice, good policy, good training. The second, more important level is the producer actually reaching out to the Kerry campaign and giving the appearance of a lack of independence, giving the appearance of a conflict of interest, as though her interest was not in getting the story, but in getting the president.
Well, it certainly would appear that at the producer level, it would be easier, let's say, to assess blame than higher up. And the question is whether or not executives at the upper levels of CBS News should have been treated the same way that the lower level employees were.
Yeah, I think you've got to have serious accountability in something like this. Look, this fits into a much broader context. We're talking here about a recent concern on the public's part that goes back to Jason Blair at the New York Times. It goes to Jack Kelly at USA Today for fabricating stories. It goes to Andrew Gilligan in BBC. We're talking here about something which is so crucial to our success as a culture, the role of the media. You know, you recall Jefferson in 1787 said, "Were it left to me to decide whether we should have government without newspapers or newspapers without government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter."
Would you include Armstrong Williams? I'm assuming you probably would in that category of journalists who have crossed the line. He, of course,
The
person who accepted money from the Department of Education without revealing it. What causes this to continue to happen? Is it just a moral weakness, an ethical breakdown? What is it?
Well, you know, people keep talking about haste and competition and all that. Competition in the news business, I'm afraid, from my years in it, it's another word for ego. It's another word for saying, I got to be best, I got to be first. It's not paying attention to what the public really needs. It's paying attention to what I really need and using my medium to promote me. And that's what concerns me about some of these questions of doing it for the money, doing it for the prestige, something like that.
Let's talk about corporate malfeasance for a moment. Most recently, two former America Online officials and four former executives of a business partner are accused of taking part in a scheme to prop up each other's financial results. We all remember Enron. What impact did that have, Enron, on this kind of continuing misbehavior, corporately speaking?
Oh, Enron just started a whole litany of stuff. You remember when that came out? It was shortly after 9/11. And I really do think the nation had been sensitized to big ethical questions, you know, the sort of who are we and why are we here and what is life all about kind of questions because of 9/11. Along comes Enron, and the nation is willing to ask a lot of tough ethical questions that it hadn't asked in the past. And that just sets forth a whole bunch of things that start after that. Of course, the collapse of Arthur Andersen, the WorldCom scandals that keep moving through that following summer.
In your book, Moral Courage, you describe this ideal as the most important characteristic for the 21st century, moral courage being that ideal. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, you can take this right back to the CBS thing. Where was the courage? Somewhere in that organization to say to two people who were icons, and treated with huge respect, Dan Rather and Mary Mapes, where's the courage to say, you haven't got this right? Slow down. Stop the pace. That takes real courage, and for the most part, that's a difficult thing for people to muster. On the other hand, if you think about what could happen in the world, if whenever we're facing what looks to be an ethical crunch, there's somebody who has the guts to stand up. What a totally different world that would be.
Rushworth Kidder, the founder of the Institute for Global Ethics in Camden, Maine, and author of a new book titled Moral Courage. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.